Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
We are continuing our series on Christ's clutter in the calendar. We're in the middle of getting the middle of June. This will be June the 12th, I think, Wednesday. This will
Excellent.
Be airing, so headed off. And you said that your son's birthday, was it yesterday? Or
yes,
the 11th?
June 11th. 7th, June 11th. Yep.
You guys do anything special for that? Or
we are. So we always try to get the whole gang, all eight of us together to celebrate each person's birthday. So that's super fun. Our plan is to go to a restaurant called Yvonne's in downtown Boston. Mm-hmm. For this one, sometimes we'll do a lobster bake at the house. Sometimes, you know, we've done all kinds of different things. This one, we're all going down to Boston to this really fun restaurant, and we will celebrate him there. And then part of our birthday celebrations, we always take time to actually go around the table and have each person kind of give an affirmation of something that they admire, that they see in that person, and something they like to celebrate about them. And then ask God to give us a verse to share with that person. And it's a sweet, sweet time. We all look forward to it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And that'll be Friday night that we do that for Josh. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to get into, you know, redoing our calendars, actually this next session. And, the one thing is to, you know, you got to put on the calendars, the important things that are coming up so that, you know, if you're going to have a celebration of your family mm-hmm. birthday, well, it has to be on the calendar. Everybody right. has to know it. And you got to give yourself, both, you know, the time to enjoy it, but also either to prepare for it. Like if you're going to have, you know, lobster at your house, well, that takes time, you know.
Right, absolutely.
To get that done. And so these are, God wants to order our life around the joy of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the joy of life is, and the one thing that, you know, the Israel did well is they celebrated. They did mm-hmm. understand celebration. And God wants us to celebrate, you know, holidays and Christmases times and birthdays and Thanksgiving and things that are important, vacations, all these will build into this, but it's building memories.
Right.
And the tradition that builds itself into a beautiful memory, like what you do, is, well, let's share around the table something about that person, that becomes an enjoyable moment.
Oh, yeah.
Both for the person, but for the people doing it, is we love doing this together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been purposeful as part of your life, as opposed to, well, yeah, we could do it, but we're too busy. So, yeah, let's get it over
right.
with. See the difference is, no, enjoy it. You know, have mm-hmm. joy with it, and got to have space with it. And by the way, think about it, when you do that, you can't be on your cell phones.
right.
You can't be doing stuff. You got to, you know, be doing. So as we talked about Sabbath, build that as a principle,
mm-hmm.
Which is rest, relaxation, break, margin. And it says, God says, it starts with the holy day that I set apart, which is for us is the resurrection day, is the Sabbath
mm-hmm.
day, is let's set that apart, get in the habit of setting that apart. Let me start there with margin. Then he says, for the other days, I need to reorder your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, even as you say that, it comes to mind, you touched on it just a little bit with that. The preparation, I think if we are not careful, even in pursuing honoring the Sabbath and in preparing for that, we can find ourselves just like you do before a vacation sometimes or before whatever. I'm working so hard, so busy to get ready for my break. And we can get in a mindset or have set our calendars up in such a way that the preparation itself becomes a burden. And then the break is so ridiculously needed that it takes us a while to settle into it. Right. And so I think there's some warning in that even the preparation should actually be a joy.
Yeah.
And if we are allowing God to really reshuffle things and show us margin and show us what's most important, the preparation for the Sabbath or the preparation for the vacation or the preparation for those things can be joy filled as we get ready, not something we have to survive to get to the next thing.
Right. That's right. We're actually, you know, we're getting ready to go to France with our leader retreat. And of course, we're going to go to Europe and putting all things together. But what you just said, remember, Linda and I have learned it, mm-hmm. that, well, you can't let that be a burden to you just to prepare for it.
Right.
You're going to have to learn to do it differently because our and Linda actually has been great at processing it and helping me do it. Is my typical approach had what used to be just cram everything in the day or two before, you know, and then then it was stressful and it was hard and
right.
You'd forget something and then you got to worry about it and I wasn't actually relaxed going into the vacation.
Right.
So Linda says, well, why don't we do it differently? You know, and we prayed about it and talked about it and say, okay, let's prepare, let's take, you know, the last 2 weeks prior to that and pace ourselves, and get the clothes, you know, ready and get your material ready and, let's pack and, let's do it in a relaxed way a little bit every day instead of all at once at the end. And we prepared differently.
Right.
And it's actually very relaxing. It's not stressful. It's happening. It's happening. We'll be ready. And it'll be just a nice flow of what you just said is we recognize, and this will be part of the issue of as we process this, is how are you operating now that causes you stress?
Right.
And God says preparation for things is as important as the things.
Yes, so, absolutely.
So we'll talk about that. We need a remedy for a reorder of how we live. So let's start with John 15, which is our base verse that we do everything about. John 15, 1-5.
Sure. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Yeah. So it's abiding. The purpose of it is that you bear what?
To bear fruit.
And he says, everything that I do is to bear fruit. And think of it in one, my nature is receiving the very life of Christ himself.
Right.
And as we look at the Gospels, for example, you know, was Christ ever rushed? No. Did he say a no to a lot of things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Did he take time to go pray? Did he go take time to relax? He did. And he was never stressed out. So that he said, well, if you could recognize that I demonstrated the life that I want for you by how I did it.
So good.
I want you to realize that there's a fruit to that. There's a quality to that. If you stay with me, I'll show you and I'll produce it. And again, just think of fruit. And do you have, I know we've got fruit trees in our house. Do you have any in your house at all?
We do not.
Do not. Okay. Yeah. Cause it's hard there probably, but, we have, you know, we have plums and we've got peaches and we've got apples and a variety of things. And, you know, can we get fruit? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that's not really the question. The question is, what's the quality of that fruit?
Right, right.
Do you actually enjoy eating that fruit?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a special time when you gotta do all the work of pruning, and we'll talk about that, and the right time to do that, so that the fruit then can be luscious. And then there's a time to harvest that fruit, and then obviously eat it. And you know the difference,
right,
between luscious fruit or not. So that God says one of the fruit is the life characteristics,
mm-hmm,
of joy and peace,
yes,
and excitement and refreshment and margin. And he said it's not some of those. It's all of those wrapped up into one.
Mm-hmm.
And I will produce that. And he says, so as you consider fruit, he said, my first and foremost is to give you a quality that is luscious.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he says, how are you doing at enjoying life? How are you doing,
right,
at having peace? How are you doing at that? And if you're not, then that means you're not connected. And you're not letting me do what I need to have you do to enjoy the fruit of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, by the way, another fruit will be overcoming difficulty. And he said, yeah, you got circumstances, and I'll do things. I'll show you how to overcome that, and I'll do the work. That'll be a fruit of your life. You'll start to recognize that. And then, by the way, one of the fruit that we get the privilege of is seeing other people have fruit.
Right. Absolutely.
And he said, how does that work? Well, you got to bring them abiding to the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I produce fruit in them. And you get the joy of that because you are the instrument that brought them to the vine. And so that's, you know, that's a privilege that we have. And as you and I know, which is what we get to experience in our ministry, is there's really nothing greater than seeing somebody's light bulbs go on.
Oh my goodness. It's the most joyous thing, right?
Yeah. And then live out the life, mm-hmm, of God, which is why we're doing the series on Christ, Clutter, and a Calendar, is that what would thrill us the most is that we see people who walk through this,
mm-hmm,
and started to experience the luscious fruit of God's life, really,
right,
not you know, denied it or neglected, mm-hmm, it, but rather, you know, experienced it. And he said the key to it is I have to prune you. And he said it's an ongoing thing. He uses the picture of the vine and the vineyard and the grapes and the wine, and that in order for it all to happen, there is a essential.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to cut back you, who are the branch, because you can get too big and produce, mm-hmm, no fruit.
Or not good quality fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, no, not good quality or no fruit.
Yeah.
And it'll look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say, look at how beautiful the branch is. He says, well, it's beautiful, but there's no fruit there. Because why? Mm-hmm. It has to be cut back. And the analogy here isn't I'm changing who you are. I'm just cutting back,
mm-hmm,
the bigness of what you are. So that as we look at it, and you and I can, we say this in our retreats, is that if we had a chance to, you know, walk around with people, invisibly, we would see they're doing way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Their activity level is too high. Why? They don't have any margin.
Right.
They're tired. They're weary. They're rushing from thing to thing. They're always late. They're experiencing stress. And God said, yeah, I got to cut you back in the things that you're doing,
mm-hmm,
the activities. He said, apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. So he says pruning is, and you actually talked about this the last couple of times, is we actually got to let God prune us at least, you said, 3 or 4 times a year, maybe more periodically, but we got to be purposeful about him pruning, mm-hmm, us back.
Absolutely.
And he says, I'll show you where to cut. I'll show you what to reduce. I'll show you what to get out of if you allow me, you know, to prune. And by the way, as they prune, they cut the branches, and they fall on the ground. He says, we collect them,
mm-hmm,
and we burn them. The reason is that if I leave them on the ground, they root.
Right.
And they try to become
and
a vine.
And they'll come right back.
and the analogy for us is that as we reorient our life, a lot of times we'll just say, okay, I'll set that aside a little bit, but I'll come back to it. And you never really let it be pruned. It's not really gone. You've just remanaged it for a while, but then you take it back on. So when God says a lot of times, okay, you're done with this. It's time to end this particular thing because I've got other things for you to do. We have to be willing for him to prune it and burn it, get rid of it.
Right.
And take care of it. So he said pruning is critical. Okay, go to Colossians 1, 9 to 18. He tells us a little bit more about this. Colossians 1, 9 to 18.
It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy. Where am I going?
Through 18.
Oh, to 18, sorry. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence.
Yeah. All things, life, circumstances, stuff, is created by who?
By God.
By him, by him, for him, in him, through him. He says, this is all happening because of me.
Right.
And he says in verse 18, he says, I have to be preeminent. Okay, that word is significant. You know, what do you understand when it says this is preeminent? What does that mean?
That's like the supreme authority, right?
The supreme first over everything. Nothing is to substitute for it. Let God be preeminent because he can do all things and reorder all things and is in charge of all things. And so he said, if you're going to let me reorder your calendar and your activity level, you're going to have to let me be preeminent. And by the way, I can do it.
Right.
And I can direct it. I can make it happen. I'm going to have you be obedient to the steps of that, but I'll put this together for you because I am superior to everything you got. So there's no complication you have where you say, and this is what people say, I don't see how I can get out of this, or I don't see how I can stop doing this. And God says, well, I can make it happen. Don't worry. Trust me. And then he says, go back in verse 9, he says, I pray that you receive all the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of his will, because God will direct you to live out the life of the kingdom. I'm transferring you from the world of darkness, where you're tired, you're weary, you're oppressed, you're heavy-hearted, to the life of the kingdom, which is joy and peace and
right.
margin. Because I got to create margin in your life by cutting you back, and so it's a willingness to receive wisdom. And then to move forward into God's directions to sort it out. And by the way, it's personal. And that's why I can't say to anybody, you know, and people come up with all kinds of formulas as, you know, you got to have so much time with God and so much time for you and so much time with your wife and all these things. And even that, God said, it's not a system. It's me.
Right.
And I'll reorder your personal life around you and what's going on with you and the things you're involved in. Like, for example.
Which may look very different for you than it does for me.
Yeah. So that, you know, Linda and I are empty nesters. Now, we have grandkids, by the way, that we have a lot of energy that we spend time with, like we used to do with our children. But we don't have little babies around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's people that we deal with that have several little babies, you know, right. several kids under the age of six. The way that they're going to play that out is way different than the way I'm playing it.
Yes.
And you can't say I'm going to decide how to do this. It's that here's my situation.
Mm-hmm.
Father, how now? Here's one thing I would like to say, though. With all these different scenarios, I do hear people give me the excuse as to why it can't happen for them.
Mm,
yeah,
yes.
But I got three kids under the age of eight. Ain't gonna happen.
When I'm older, when this season changes,
my you know. Business. I'm just in this phase of business, and I've got to work these long hours all the time. And I say, you know what? That is rejecting the life of God. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Because God can provide you wisdom and understanding. Right. He can show you how to do it. There's no excuse for this because he's preeminent.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry. He knows how to do this. And don't approach it with, well, this will never happen for me because.
Mm-hmm.
He says, no, go the other direction. How can it happen for me? Because you can do it. And I'm willing to do it and let you show my life and how to do it. Like, which, by the way, can be an excuse for, yeah, I really can't spend time in the Word because I'm too busy with all these other obligations. I said, well, there's your problem right there.
Yeah.
Is that, no, how can you spend time in the Word? And then God will reorient the rest of your life if you allow him to do it.
There's a great quote. Mike Ashcraft always said, if you're too busy to spend time with God, you're busier than he intends you to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, period.
That's right. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. And he tells us about how to seek this. Ephesians 5, 15 to 21.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
3:21.
Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Yeah, and the submitting is the process of assist me in redeeming the time, seeking wisdom.
Mm.
How would you have me live? And submit to each other to help each other do that. And he says the key is to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And what we start with is that he says, I have to prune you back.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be doing less. I have to show you a different way to develop margin. I have to show you how to not be allowing these things to be burdens for you. And he said, that's my absolute will.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, would you have a heart to receive that wisdom? Do you have a heart to let me guide you? Because I will. And the only way you can thwart it is that you just don't come with me.
Right.
And you stay in this busyness, you stay in this tiredness, this weariness, and I never get to the beautiful life that he has for me. And,
right.
and he says, you got to be willing to do that so that as you start it, one thing we would do is to start documenting the truth. And that would be, if I'm going to have knowledge of God's will, it starts with, well, what's true today?
Mm-hmm.
So that as you're approaching this, and we'll get into more of this, is start to keep track of all the things you're doing.
Right.
And write them all down. And what are you involved in? And remember, don't look at it at the moment as good or bad. Or decide
you're just collecting data almost,
you're just getting,
right?
You're just getting information is over the next several days in the next week or so, write down the things you're involved in. What are you involved in? What projects do you have? What activities do you have? How are you living your life? And just start listing down all the different things you do. And remember, you got to be fairly specific. Like for example, if Linda was doing this, she would write down, that, you know, she, and because we have our grandson living with us right now, she would say, well, I do laundry, you know, for us and for him. And, well, that takes time.
Right.
It's one of the things she does. And see, what you're trying to build is, well, just how am I spending my time? Not to evaluate it yet. So we say, oh, yeah, I shouldn't be doing laundry. That'd be good. And eventually it's going to be, well, no, that's probably going to be important. but I got to build it in, see? So just list it all down. What is it that you're doing? And start to write down the truth and approach it as pure as you can without censoring or even evaluating, eh, I probably shouldn't be doing this or I got to change this. At the moment, and you just said it, just put the data down.
Yeah.
Just collect it down. Just write down all the stuff.
And do it over a period of days, or like you said, even throughout a week, because you will see there are things that are maybe a once a week or things that are three times a week, or, you know, that don't always, if you just sat down and tried to brainstorm one day, there are definitely things you will forget that you do.
Yeah. Yeah. As,
right?
as well as let's say you're involved in a church committee that meets once a week or once a month. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they don't meet today or the next couple of days, but you know you have to do that. Well, you got to write it down.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I do that too. And all you're doing here is writing everything down that you're engaged in and what you're doing. And then every day, start to at least respond to a simple question is, are you tired?
Mm-hmm.
And are you weary? Do you have margin in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And just respond to that real simple. Yeah. No, I'm kind of tired today. I'm kind of weary today, or I'm stressed today. Just record your emotional life right now.
Yeah. And again, not evaluating. You're making notes because you're giving yourself a picture of the data, right?
Yeah. Because at this point, see, he says, don't add to it. Cause you can say I'm tired. And then the next thing you say is, I shouldn't be. And then I want to go fix it. And God says, you don't get to that piece at all. Just,
right.
Are you tired? Yeah, you're tired. Okay. He said, that's okay. Let's just get it down. Let's get it identified. So if you're going to seek wisdom, seek the truth of what's really going on now and start to document all the things you're involved in. And you need to do it. Your spouse needs to do it. If you have people that you're helping, have them do it. Do it. What is it without judgment? And just let's just document. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want to prune us. You say that apart from you, we can do nothing. You want to build the fruit of the joy of life, which includes margin and space. We do know that we are to seek wisdom with you being preeminent, because you can make it all happen. And we have no excuse for that, including any circumstance we're involved in. And then, Father, we know that we're to walk circumspectly to seek truth, to seek information, to seek wisdom, to you guide us into the beautiful life that you have, which is your will. And so we pray that we'll be willing right now to take the time to determine all the things we're doing and to recognize, is that making us tired, weary, stressed, and just record what is. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. If you have questions, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.